Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I think that, like, from a high level, especially since you're focusing on blockchain data, it's a huge open database that houses, like, financial transactions and smart contract function calls. And that is basically, like, the Facebook server or, like, the Google server. All these things are running, and you can basically get access to a lot of that data. So this is like a data engineer's playground.
Welcome to the Ocean Missions Campfire Podcast, where we explore ocean protocol, Web3, and blockchain data. I'm Scott Millad, and today we have Jake, a former data engineer from Facebook, joining us. And he's actually interviewing me about Ocean Missions. We look at what led to the creation of Ocean Missions, what it is, and talk about how it all works. So with that said and done, here is my interview with Jake.
My name is Jake. I was a data engineer at Facebook for 2.5 years. I worked on a machine learning team, basically helped measure the performance of the models. Yeah, I'm super passionate about data. I'll have a lot of views on that. I think that people should own more of their data and kind of fight for it. I think the whole data economy could work a little bit better for everyone. And so that's why I want to get involved in Ocean and Ocean Missions as a way to kind of support that ecosystem. So I'm just meeting Scott for the first time. I'm about as new to Ocean Missions as any new person. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, I'm super excited to learn more about getting started on Ocean Missions.
So I have been working alongside the Ocean DAO for just about 6 months now, and that work has led me to creating Ocean Missions. Prior to that, I worked in the corporate side with regards to software development and going back further to advertising. It was very much Ocean Protocol's values and mission which sort of drew me to the protocol. I'd heard Trent talk a few times on a number of podcasts, and that really piqued my interest. And so I was really interested in coming at Ocean Protocol from quite a commercial perspective initially. You know, I believe in and am excited about the vision and mission of Ocean Protocol, but I also am aware that, you know, we don't just wake up one day and then everyone is, you know, magically in control of their own data and having the ability to monetize it and do all these interesting things. That needs to evolve in some way. And, you know, the realities of how things get adopted in the world is that if they have a high commercial importance, they tend to attract resources. And as a result, they can grow. So the quicker and the more effective we can be at getting adoption of Ocean Protocol in some meaningful ways, the sooner I believe that we can start to tap into some of those more long-term valuable use cases that the protocol's hoping to achieve. So that's really how I came to focusing on Ocean Missions.
So do you want to dive into what is Ocean Missions? And I guess you just talked about like what led you to start it, but maybe talk a little bit about that journey more in detail.
Yeah, for sure. So I looked across the board spectrum of what could be done with Ocean Protocol, and it is quite generalizable. I mean, it could essentially be, you know, pursued in any vertical, and those opportunities are all still pretty much there for anyone to come along and start working on them. And I decided to focus on on-chain data as the vertical, because I believe it's basically one of the lowest hanging, if not the lowest hanging fruits when it comes to usage and adoption. Even inside of that, you know, on-chain data itself, once you start to open it up, is huge. It's a massive industry in of itself. It's got some established players. It's got a whole bunch of, you know, there's the ones that have been around for a long time, like CipherTrace and companies like that. And then there's, you know, the likes of June Analytics, there is Nansen.ai, you know, there is Chainlink, there is The Graph. So there's a whole lot of interesting projects already inside that blockchain data space. And what I'm really trying to try and find out with Ocean Missions is, you know, where is the space for a data marketplace inside of all of that? Where is the place for community created and owned data assets? If we have the ability for a data scientist or a developer to come and build a data asset that can then be traded on the Ocean marketplace, then what does that unlock in terms of collaboration across, you know, a community of people all working towards achieving the same goal? I mean, it's basically opening up that DAO concept to data ownership. So honestly, where things are at now, like, I would love to say this use case is 100% the best use case for Ocean Missions and for, you know, Ocean Protocol inside of the blockchain data space. But the reality is that's not yet defined. There's still a number of questions around where that might be. You know, is it NFTs? Is it DeFi? Is it crypto? Is it DAO? Is it something else? There's now so many areas within on-chain data that you can go. And also importantly, where is the demand coming from? Because where the demand comes from will also indicate where those opportunities or those first early opportunities are that may come from the sort of retail investor or buyer, or it might come from a small number of large commercial outfits. So again, those things are still to be worked out.
Yeah, that was actually one of my biggest questions when I really started to try to get involved in Ocean, was like, what kind of data do people need? Like, Ocean is like, has this data marketplace, which a marketplace naturally has like a supply and demand. So what do these supplies and demands look like? And I think Ocean Mission is a good way to figure that out. So can you talk a little bit about Ocean Missions more technically, and like, how does it work? Basically, like, the process from start to finish, if you, for each of the roles that exist in Ocean Missions, I guess?
For sure. So, I mean, there's sort of two ways that missions can come in. And now, like, a mission is really a small data project, or a medium-sized data project. Something that's well-defined and is something that either one person or a handful of people can work on together to achieve. One of the ways that those missions can come in to Ocean Missions is via someone who is looking to acquire a certain type of data. Robin is a great example of that from Data Union. He's also within the Ocean DAO ecosystem. Basically, he has a large data asset on Ocean Market currently, and there's a number of people who have been staking on that data asset. And he really wanted to understand, of the stakers inside of that data asset, if they were to withdraw their funds today, how much would they have? Would they be up from when they put their money in? Would they be down? And so on and so forth. So that was one nice specific use case. He wrote a great mission brief that was then put into the Ocean Missions Discord. And from there, one of the Ocean Missions members came along, picked up the brief and was like, cool, you know, I think this is something that I can take on and that I'm keen to pursue. It had a bounty of, I believe, 500 USDC on it. And so the guy who came to take it on went in, got in touch with Robin, just clarified a few final questions, and ultimately delivered a solution for him. The other way that missions come in, so far they have come from myself. So there's different things that I'm sort of experimenting with and seeing which missions get picked up and which ones don't. So far, definitely the ones that have bounties attached to them have been picked up faster. And they currently are coming from me, but there's really nothing stopping those use cases coming from within the community itself. So if there is a group of people who have a goal or an objective in mind, and they believe that, you know, building and owning a data asset inside of this ecosystem is going to have some form of, you know, long-term value, then there's nothing stopping that group of people coming together and building that. That's definitely something that would be, you know, awesome to see. And the sort of other piece of it is coming back to that demand, is one of the things that I'm doing in the background is really looking at the demand side and trying to help essentially the entire community, you know, move closer towards that demand, because we know we have the ability now to deliver. Even though we've done it on a small scale, there's a lot of talented people inside the ecosystem. So I have really high confidence that, you know, if you pointed us towards a task, there's no doubt that we could definitely achieve it.
Yeah, so yeah, I love that investigation into the supply and demand sides. One of the areas that I really think would be cool is that community data set idea that you brought up. And I'm assuming that means that, like, there are multiple contributors to this data set and they kind of share in some of the value that data set provides. So do you want to maybe talk about your vision for that, since you mentioned it on the supply side? Then we can get into more about the demand side.
Yeah, definitely. So basically, let's take a use case where, say, three people come together online, they connect, and they are keen to pursue a particular data asset. So what we've tried to do is to provide just some basic sort of templates and guidelines there around how to connect with one another, come to some agreements with each other, just around, you know, how the project's going to sort of go ahead and sort of how rewards would be distributed amongst the community. I've attempted to add some mechanisms there so you can sort of tweak things to your liking. These mechanisms are still, you know, kind of in their very nascent stages, and if there was a group of people interested in doing that, that's something I would more than happy help out. You know, sorting those types of arrangements and agreements is something that I've done commercially a lot, so it's definitely an area I'd be happy to help with. But basically, once you have sort of aligned both in terms of technically what it is that you aim to pursue, and you have a good, you know, agreement and understanding of who's going to contribute what and how you're going to share the rewards, it then just becomes a matter of delivering your first iteration of the product and building on it over time. So way that kind of ownership and control of that data set can be shared is really where things start to get quite interesting. Built into Ocean currently is a crude mechanism where you could achieve that today. So you and I, for example, could come together, create a data token, split the tokens 50-50. One person would ultimately be the publishing address for that. And so that would be on a, you know, a trust basis between you and I at this stage. But there is sort of nothing stopping in the future being able to implement something like the Gnosis Safe, which is a multi-sig wallet, and that could be shared by you and I. So basically, you and I go into a Gnosis Safe environment where we're essentially both signatories on an Ethereum address, and we use that Ethereum address to publish the data asset. Both you and I have equal rights in terms of approving transactions with regards to that. And so therefore, you can't run off with it, I can't run off with it. We both basically have the rights and permissions that we have agreed on and set. And then we are literally building this data asset together. It can grow over time. Basically, the way that Ocean Protocol is set out is that it just points to an encrypted URL. So we can continue to update and improve that data set over time. And our kind of the value of that data set is going to increase as it becomes, you know, assuming that it's valuable to begin with and we're adding more value to it over time, the value of it should increase. And therefore, we're basically building out our own digital asset. And that's more or less the kind of concept of that shared ownership model.
Yeah, I really like that, especially the decentralized way to do it, I guess, with the smart contract. So that's a little bit about the supply. Do you want to talk about, you mentioned that you're kind of like investigating the demand side. What are you finding there so far? And where do you see it going?
I think that is the fundamental question. And I still don't know, but I will tell you what has just even happened today, which is interesting. I and kind of currently trying to attack this problem by looking at basically what are the things we know, right? We know that someone needs to have demand for this data, and we also know that they need to have, well, they need to be crypto savvy to begin with, right? Because that's who we're choosing to target. And we also know that they are willing to pay for it, because there's a lot of data out there that anyone could just go and acquire. You know, more and more things are coming online each day. And so trying to kind of flip the switch into what is data that someone's willing to pay for and who is that person, it really starts to refine down the possibilities of who that might be. Now, following that logic, I'm thinking about, okay, is it crypto investors or investment firms that are coming into Web3 real heavily? You know, they're wanting to allocate large amounts of capital into the Web3 ecosystem. They have limited resources. If we could start to build valuable data sets that could unlock, you know, investment insights for them, then them paying $20,000 to access some insights for something where they're going to allocate $10 million, for example. I mean, I'm completely making these numbers up, but it kind of gives you a sense for how that need may kind of emerge. So that's sort of one piece. That's kind of that more traditional big business to business type environment. The other one is the conversation I had today with one of the projects also inside of the Ocean DAO, who is building some really interesting data set around land assets and inside of the metaverse, NFTs, etc., etc. So coming up with land valuations and things like that. That is an entirely kind of different beast and interesting one, because there might be some big time investors or players there that you would be targeting also, and maybe that's an interesting niche to pursue. Then there's also the kind of retail guys, so the person who's, you know, maybe wanting to buy some land assets or whatever inside of the metaverse, and they're looking for valuation data to get a good reference on what they should be paying, you know. Pursuing that as the first point of entry is a possibility. It could be an interesting one. It could be the right one. I don't know. So yeah, these are kind of honestly, this is exactly where things are at right now. So, you know, as much as I do.
I do see a lot of those, like, I don't know, I get that vibe that you're putting off about, like, a lot of the activity in the crypto ecosystem is, like, obviously people are crypto native, so they're the people that are demanding it. Products in crypto are already into crypto, so it makes sense that, like, on-chain data would be the place to start, and providing that for people investing and things like that. I kind of explain it, it's an interesting case because, like, this data is public, so pretty much anyone could get it for free, but they have to spend, like, time doing that. So it's like, how can we package it up so that the money that they pay for it is it worth it for them? And like, the example I give is, like, okay, in the early 2000s or whatever, you could technically get any file such as a song or video for free by, like, torrenting it. So people thought that CDs and the music industry was going to go out of business, or they weren't going to make any record sales. But then this thing called Spotify came along, and now people pay $10 a month because it's so easy, because Spotify made it so easy to access that quote-unquote free content.
Definitely. I think this is an area that, for whatever reason, a lot of developers particularly fall victim to in seeing, okay, this stuff's free, it's easy to get. Yeah, cool, it may be easy for you to get, but that doesn't mean that it's easy for anyone else to get. Also, your afternoon that it takes, or a couple of days that it takes to get that, that's also worth something, right? And so if I can just go click, click, and get some valuable information, then, you know, that is hugely valuable in and of itself. You know, one of the experiments or sort of ideas around this is that idea of packaging. So, you know, could you theoretically provide access to an Ethereum full node, for example, profitably through Ocean, I mean, there's a million and one different ways to already access an Ethereum full node, but just from a commercial point of view, it's interesting to it's interesting to think through the logic of, okay, if it costs me X to host this, and if I sold access to it at, Y price Z times, at what point does it actually become profitable? Because if that's a formula that works, then that's super replicatable and scalable.
So I guess we're getting close to time. So maybe one of the last questions is, do you have any tips for people getting started doing ocean missions?
Yeah, there's a couple of aspects. Obviously, it all really starts with a valuable use case. And so, if you have a use case in mind, hit me up. I'm thinking about these quite a lot. I'm not necessarily able to give you the golden information. I'll give you as much information as I have, but your guess is as good as mine in these sorts of things. And I'll continue to update the community as I sort of go deeper into this. But yeah, I think the other aspect to it is, just working with on-chain data. So one of the things we're doing is going to be sharing a tutorial soon that just kind of makes it a bit easier to get up and running, because for a lot of people, actually just working with on-chain data is something new. And so just getting familiar with that process, starts to get the ball rolling. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be a journey. Who knows? Like, I don't know exactly which use case we're going to be targeting first, but I think once we know, it's going to be all on pretty quickly. So I'm definitely excited for that.
Yeah, same. And then I guess the last question, unless you have anything else that you wanted to mention, was basically like, how can we in the Ocean Mission community, people on Discord, people who are watching this getting started, how can we help the best to help Ocean Mission succeed?
Just come in and get involved, like ask questions. Honestly, like the value of asking questions is, underestimated. When people ask questions in these environments, it just helps, one, in terms of like we can help provide the right information for people, but two, it also just helps me know where gaps are, because I'm sitting here staring at a computer screen all day thinking that hopefully I've answered these questions, but like I actually don't know, and oftentimes there's these sort of big gaps that you just overlook. So that's honestly probably a pretty good place to start.
That's awesome. Yeah, so just really get involved and engage, I guess. It's one of the best ways to help. Cool. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, other than a massive thanks to you. Definitely keen to learn more about what you're thinking and sort of ideas that you have. I mean, I think coming from Facebook and doing the work that you're doing, you're almost like perfect use case 1.0 of someone who can really charge and drive forward this future data economy. And yeah, definitely excited to see how we can help you with inside this ecosystem too, and achieve the things that you're wanting to achieve.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I think that, like, from a high level, especially since you're focusing on blockchain data, it's a huge open database that's houses like financial transactions and smart contract function calls. And that is basically like the Facebook server or like the Google server or, Lyft, Uber server. All these things are running and you can basically get access to a lot of that data. So this is like a data engineer's playground for all of this super interesting, impactful data that, you just need to package it up, like you mentioned, put a bow on it so that people can get some value from it, basically solve that problem. So
absolutely. I mean, the way I think about it is that if you believe that Web3 is the future and the public open Web3, then imagine if you just had access to like every infrastructure item of the Industrial Revolution, as railways were being built, as factories were being built, as roads were being laid, and you just had the ability to just look at all of that information. Like, I mean, say no more, it's insane. There's just so much opportunity there. It's ridiculous. It's about trying to find it. That's the hard part.
Yeah. Yep. And just keep progressing and I think it'll...
For sure. For sure. Awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time.